The year was 310 AD. Constantine was emperor of Rome, and he was engaged in a series of battles with one of his arch nemesis in the east, who was trying to overthrow him. And so this other individual had overtaken Asia Minor and was preparing to move on Rome. Constantine prepared his troops, and he was greatly outnumbered. And as they were gathered at a place called the Bridge of Milvian, in the sky there appeared a cross. Now, Constantine was not a Christian. He was a pagan. Constantine worshipped at the altars of all the gods of Rome. And yet, in that moment, he saw in the distance this cross. It was actually a Chiro. Chiro is the beam going up has kind of a P that goes around, and it's a symbol for Christ. And so in that moment, Constantine no doubt pondered what was going on. And then he heard a voice from heaven speak to him. And the voice said, "In this sign, conquer." In this sign, the sign of the cross that he saw in this vision, conquer. And so Constantine went into battle and indeed was victorious. Shortly thereafter, tradition tells us, and this particular tradition was recorded by Eusebius, who was a bishop of Rome and an historian, so we know that it's accurate. Tradition tells us that shortly thereafter, Constantine converted to Christianity. He accepted Christ and became a follower and a believer, which meant, as emperor, since he had converted to Christianity, all of the empire would be required to do the same. And so at the Edict of Milan, Constantine declared that all of the Roman Empire would indeed become believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Constantine then sent the Empress Helena to Jerusalem, which really wasn't Jerusalem anymore, because in the 340 years or 320 years since our Lord's crucifixion, death, and resurrection, it had become a Roman city. And there he instructed that a church be built on the place where our Lord was crucified. So while they were excavating, again, this is all history. This is not made up, you know, sometimes I tell legends and I say this might have been traditional. This actually happened. On the site where they were excavating for this church to be built, which Empress Helena, now known as St. Helena, they discovered the true cross. And they knew it was the true cross because it was on the spot where the crucifixion took place, Mount Calvary, which had been built up over the years so the city could expand. And they also found next to the true cross the other two crosses that were used for the two thieves that flanked our Lord on his right and his left when he was crucified. And so this great basilica was built and many other buildings and chapels. And to this day, the church stands, perhaps not exactly the same one, and that church is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So, on September 14th, 322 AD, there was a celebration, a feast of the Holy Cross. And on that day, the cross was venerated, as we do on Good Friday, as is done throughout the world on Good Friday. But for the first time, the cross was venerated in that spot at that church on Holy Cross Day, 322 AD. Today, we celebrate, in the year 2019, that very same feast. Of course, it was yesterday, but I transferred it. That's okay. I can do those things. You can't transfer Christmas. You can't transfer Easter. You can transfer Holy Cross Day. So on Good Friday commemorates our Lord's passion, crucifixion, and death. Of course, the symbol of Good Friday is the cross. But Holy Cross Day is a reminder of what that symbol truly means to us in our lives, truly reveals to us what God had in mind for us. keep in mind that crucifixion was a terrible, terrible way to die. I had a parishioner in my last parish, Dr. John Hackett, God rest his soul, and every Good Friday, he would remind me of how the Lord died. He'd say, "Now, Father Reed, do you remember how the Lord died?" And I said, "Yes, he was crucified on a cross." He would go, "No, yes, he was crucified on a cross, but he died from asphyxiation, and he died from not having enough blood in his, enough oxygen in his blood, and therefore it was extremely painful," which is true, because when you're hanging on a cross, not to mention you have nails through your hands and your feet, the whole weight of your body is pulling down, and so you can't get a breath. So it was a horrible, painful, painful death. And Dr. Hackett always reminded me that that's the way the Lord died. So you will forever now remember that when we come to Good Friday, that although the Lord was indeed crucified, he died of asphyxiation, which is a technical way of saying he suffered a terrible and horrible death. And so why does the church use that symbol of awful execution and punishment as a symbol for victory? Because it's only in our Lord's offering of himself on the cross, only the offering of that painful death, that passion that he went through, that final sacrifice of himself for our sins and for the sins of the world, that we find redemption. And so for the Romans, and again, they crucified people not only because it was painful and torturous, but because also they'd leave them on the cross so that people would see what they did to deter anybody else from doing the same thing. But for us, the cross is not that instrument of shameful death. It's not that instrument of punishment. It's quite the opposite. It's the symbol of victory. It's the symbol of our Lord's victory over sin, over death, over the world. In the gospel this morning, Jesus tells the crowd who say, "You know, you say you have to go. The Son of Man must be lifted up." And they say, "Isn't the Christ supposed to remain forever?" And Jesus says how he was going to die. "I, when I am lifted up, will draw the whole world to myself." Think about it. Jesus there on the cross, fast bound in space and time. I had a preacher I heard preach one time saying that he was there on the cross suffering that painful agony, that painful death, and he could not even wipe the sweat from his nose. You know how you get something on your nose and it itches and it just drives you crazy and you have to just do that? Imagine that pain, that agony, and yet he could not even wipe the sweat from his brow. But from that position, from that vantage point, he was indeed, think of this, he was embracing the entirety of creation. Each of us, even known to him then, he embraced and he brings to victory. We are called also to bear our own cross. What does that mean? What does it mean to bear our own cross? Well, we know, I know, you all know, that life isn't always a bowl of cherries, right? Life isn't always easy. Life is difficult. We all have that cross to bear. We've all had those crosses to bear in our lives in the past. But we never, ever, ever bear that cross alone. When Jesus was going to his crucifixion, they made him carry his own cross. But he got to the point where he couldn't carry it any further. And they enlisted Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. And so for a time, Simon bore literally the cross of our Lord that he would hang on and die. When we bear our own cross, no matter what that is, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in our vocational lives, whether it's in the life of the church, whatever those stumbling blocks, whatever those difficulties, those vicissitudes that we come in, we are never doing that alone. It's always the Lord Jesus there with us when we cannot bear that cross to bear it for us because he already has. I want to share, do a little show and tell this morning. There are three crosses I want to share with you this morning. The first is the cross that I was given at my baptism. You can see that, probably can't see that pretty well. But I was 8 years old at the time. And this little cross was given to me by my godparents. And it's always been very precious and important to me. It sat on my desk at home. It sat on my desk in my last two parishes. It sits on my desk now here at St. Andrew's. And this is always a reminder to me, and I hope to you seeing it, to whom I belong and to whom you belong. You belong to him who suffered, died, and rose, that you might have life, have it abundantly, and have it eternally. That is what the cross is. It is that victory that we share in with the Lord. The second cross that I want to show you is this cross. This cross is the cross of the Society of the Holy Cross, which is a confraternity of priests in the Anglican Communion that's international. It was founded by Father Charles Lowder in 1855 in the East End of London in the London Docks. Father Lowder ministered to those who were suffering from and through the epidemic of typhus and typhoid fever that had swept through the city. Father Lowder went into people's homes, brought them communion, administered last rites, literally carried people in his arms to the hospital that they would be able to receive medical care. The London Docks were the slums of London. They were the poorest of the poor who lived there. And Father Lowder, out of the love of Christ and in his heart, ministered to those people. And for the first time in many, many centuries in the Anglican Communion, the priests were referred to as Father, because they saw Father Lowder as their spiritual father, who in the midst of those terrible, terrible things that were going on, sickness, people dying, he ministered to them in the name of Christ and in the power of the cross. The motto of the Society of the Holy Cross is the same words that Constantine heard at the Melvian Bridge when he saw that cross in the sky. And etched on my cross here are those words in Latin, in hoc signo vincens, in this sign conquer. In this sign, conquer. For me, and I hope for you, for me as a priest of the Society of the Holy Cross, that means that the cross of Christ is impressed in my heart and hopefully lived outwardly in my life. Impressed inwardly in my heart and lived outwardly in my life. And so what are we conquering? We're conquering evil. We're conquering sin. We're conquering death by our Lord Jesus Christ, who was lifted up that he might embrace the entire world. The last show-and-tell item here is this. Now, this is rather formidable, I know. This has very specific and important meaning to me because Father Joseph Gross, who was a priest who served with me in my parish for a number of years before he and his wife went into a retirement community, gave me this cross. Father Gross was a congregational priest who came under the influence of an Episcopal priest when he was in Philadelphia. And during that time, this other priest mentored him, and Father Gross decided to go to seminary later in life. He was in his 30s and decided to become an Episcopal priest, which he did. He served parishes in Philadelphia. He served parishes in New Jersey. And at his ordination to the priesthood, his mentor, his priest, his friend, gave him this cross, which hung in his office for all of the 40 years that he was a priest. And when he and his wife, Ginny, went into the retirement community and they could not take things with them, he gave this to me. So this is a very cherished item to me. I wanted to put, I can say it this morning because she's not here, she's at a conference, my dear wife. I wanted to put this up in our bedroom, but Stephanie said, nah, you know, it's a little much, you know, keep it in your office sort of thing. But to me, this is not only dear and precious because it was a gift, but it also represents what our salvation looks like. It offers what our salvation is, that when I am lifted up, I will draw the whole world to myself, said the Lord. And so the Holy Cross is for us not just a sign, not just a symbol, not just show and tell, but the very sign of victory in which we share fully in our Lord's life. We share in his life, we share in his death, but above all, we share in that which is eternal, and that is the gift of everlasting life that he gives us through the resurrection of himself to us. So let us remember this day when you see the cross, and it's not just a sign, it's not just a symbol. It is that sign of victory in which we live, in which we conquer, in which we overcome, in which we share in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.